Jim, tell us a bit more about the types of incentives that the Department of Education uses with grantees around evidence.
So we talked a little bit earlier, you know, people are most familiar within the context of competitive programs. And so in that one, there's two important levers. One is eligibility. What kind of evidence do you have to bring to the table to even be able to participate? And the second is, how does it improve your likelihood to win resources, to win funding? And that can take shape in a couple of ways. One is just competitive preference points, meaning you will score more highly if you have more evidence. The other is you can also tie the amount of funding to the level of evidence that's available as well. And that's kind of what I described earlier with I3, where it was, you know, still a pretty significant amount of money. That right now it's $3 million at the lowest threshold, but up to $15 million at the highest threshold. And so creating those incentives for people to migrate up the evidence chain is pretty big deal. The last thing is that you want to not only have incentives for folks to have evidence when they come in to apply, but you want to provide the resources for people to do rigorous evaluation, because right now, in many cases, it's very expensive, so that we continue to build learning in the field. So we need two incentive structures. One is folks to have evidence, and the other is for them to build evidence. And I think that we've built a good infrastructure for that. Last thing I'll say on this is that there are ways to make it easier for your agency to actually use evidence as a selection criteria. Here at the department, we have a rule book for grant making called EDGAR. And if you build things in the EDGAR, then you can apply them across most of your programs unless specified otherwise. And that tool has been extremely valuable for us to use to help spread the use of evidence across the agency and in training people to use that tool to drive evidence in the field.
Yeah.